Just to say, how are you doing? We're thinking about we're in the Ten Commandments, aren't we? So question, how are we doing with idols? We've thought about that the last couple of weeks. Has your worship this last week been directed to the right God? Have you been worshipping him in the right way through Jesus? And then today's subject, so let me just show you this book I got recently, How to Run. I got this book and I thought, what? What a rubbish book. A whole book on how to run. I mean, that's ridiculous. I know how to run. It'd be funny if I fell over there. Look, I can run. I know how to run. Oh, I wasn't good running. But I know how to run. Why don't you need a whole book on how to run? But then I started sort of reading, looking inside. I thought, oh, okay. There's a bit more to running than I realized. And I hope today, that is what we see with this third commandment, which we're going to look at. So don't misuse my name, God says. Don't misuse my name. I probably didn't look that up yet. We're going to go somewhere else first. That's okay. You can if you like, of course. And some think when they hear third commandment, don't use my name in vain, that commandment, they think, well, why is that number three? Perhaps that should be number 10. It's a bit like the runt of the litter, if you like, because it's so easy. You know, so long as I don't say, oh my God, like everyone else seems to, then, you know, tick. I can do this commandment quite easily until we delve in a little bit deeper. And we think, oh, there's more going on here in this third commandment. It's top three for a very good reason. God's name is so special because God is special. And we bear his name. So this is a really, really important commandment. Of course, they all are. The order of the Ten Commandments is first to God, and then there's parents, and then there's everyone else, aren't there? So you could say the Ten Commandments are in the following way. You could say, worship the right God in the right way, with the right attitude, on the right day. Respect your parents, respect life, respect marriage, respect possessions, respect truth. And I've missed one off, haven't I? But command three is about knowing something of the substance of God. Knowing something of the gravity and the depth of him. And therefore holding his name, holding him in high regard. And let's see something of his honor and majesty before I read the Exodus one. Please turn to Philippians in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, that's page 1179. Philippians chapter 2, page 1179 in the church Bibles. And let me read verses 5 to 11 to us, and then I'll go to Exodus. And as we read this passage from Philippians, look who God has given the name above all names to. Philippians 2 verse 5. In your relationships with one another, we have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20, page 78 in the church Bibles. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So there's some things that are light and can be talked about in just a flippant way, aren't there? Like sandwiches, the colour of the carpet. There's other things, though, that are weighty. Some things are trivial, some things aren't. Have you ever thought how it is that we can be so casual about God? Have you ever heard yourself speaking about God as if he's just another person? Or maybe an old geezer in the sky who could benefit from our ideas at times. You hear people say, and we perhaps heard ourselves say, you know, I can't wait to meet God and ask him this or that. You know, when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do is, you know, find out why God did this. Or why God did you allow that? What makes us think God is like some slightly needy being? Or that God is like someone who we can just waltz up to, hi God, how are you today? Kind of thing. Well, it either be because we've forgotten who God is, or we've never known who God is. Only a few people have seen God. Moses shone afterwards, didn't he? And the people were afraid. They couldn't even look at Moses, at the reflection or the brightness left from the presence of God. Daniel, before Jesus passed out, didn't he? Ezekiel went splat on his face because there is nothing trivial and light about God. If you would like to, please turn me to Isaiah chapter 6, page 691. Isaiah chapter 6, page 691. Isaiah was a godly man, a prophet who spoke with God and for God. Perhaps Isaiah can approach God in a casual way. No. Let me read verses 1 to 5. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. So Isaiah is transported to this temple, but God is so big, he fills the temple, doesn't he? He's massive. And then look around God and these angelic beings. They're awesome. But God is so much more awesome that these angelic beings cover themselves up because they're not worthy to be in the presence of God Almighty. And the noise around God, just get in his shoes for a minute, is deafening, isn't it? They're shouting, holy, 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 announcing that God is set apart, that he's not like you and me. He's holy. And the whole place is shaking. Kind of laugh when we think of opera singers being able to crack glass with their voice. But imagine for Isaiah now. God is so immense. There's not words for it really, is there? The whole place is shaking. What can you do in the presence of God? Or maybe a good moment to get my little list of questions out right now. I don't think so. Is Isaiah casual as he approaches? Hi God, how are you today? Oh, excuse me, God, can I just ask this? What can you do in God's presence? Well, what you can't do is be casual. God is so immense. Being in his presence, the noise, the smoke, so overwhelming. Isaiah says, woe is me, which translated today means I'm dead. In his presence, that's it. I'm a goner. I'm a man of unclean lips. I know what I'm like. I know my sin. So I'm dead in the presence of this awesome, holy God. Have you ever wondered why we can be so casual about God? Or why we care so much more for our homes, our clothes, our money, our jobs? There is nothing, nothing more important than knowing this great God. Ever thought how ridiculous for us to reshape God, squish him to the size, to the character, what we'd like? Or have you ever thought, my God's not like this? Well, okay, in one sense, you can think what you like. It matters not to God. For the God of the Bible is like the God of the Bible. This is what he's like, whether we like it or not. Ever think how we can make the error of misusing God's name? Ever think how we can make the mistake of, or sin, of thinking and speaking about this holy, awesome God in an empty, meaningless, trivial way? Well, with this vision of God in our heads, let's come to Commandment 3. Commandments 1 and 2 are worship the right God in the right way. Now, number 3, have the right attitude towards him. Not casual, not belittling, not demeaning him, not thinking or speaking about him in a way that tries to empty him of meaning and power. Instead, revere God. Revere him, honor him by honoring his name, because his name has meaning. First of all, a meaningful name. A meaningful name because his character is caught up in his name. How does God reveal himself? We see, don't we? He reveals himself through his deeds. He reveals himself through his words. We have it with us. He reveals himself in his name. And he has many names because he's so great. But his revealed name is Yahweh, I am who I am. Eternal, present and beyond. I was, I am, I will be to come. God with no beginning and no end. The same yesterday, today and forever. All these wonderful ways of saying God's name. And who he is wrapped up in his name, isn't it? His name is Yahweh. It had such weight, this name Yahweh. The Jews would often not even attempt to say it for fear that they pronounced it wrongly. And God is a God who we see defending his name. Of course, he owns his name, doesn't he? He allows us to use it, but according to his requirements. So for fear of offending our great God, we must take care how we use his name. Let's think of copyright, trademarking. What if one of us, with an entrepreneurial spirit, decided to suddenly go open a new restaurant in Ipswich? And we thought, oh, I'll do a burger bar. And I'll tell you what, I'll use a logo, a really big yellow M as a logo. Would that be okay? No. Because McDonald's defend their name rigorously. They've got top lawyers, and anyone who dares copy their trademark logo, they crush. And their message is, don't dare take us on. And no one really does. McDonald's are a huge brand in this world, aren't they? But how much bigger God? How much bigger is God than McDonald's? Yet, how abused is his name? It's incredible, isn't it? In 2015, Mo Farah fought hard to clear his name. He was linked to one who was linked to drugs in athletics. And Mo Farah came out in the press venting his frustration, saying, my name is being dragged through the mud. And he fought hard to make sure his name was cleared, because he knew if accusations were allowed to stick, well, his name then would be associated with substance abuse. And it would be him who was thought of and treated badly. His name has standing. a top athlete. He was worried about it being emptied of the reputation that he's got as one of our best runners. So Mo Farah fought to protect his name. How much more important? God's name. You can't slander Mo Farah, his name in the press, on the radio, in the press. You can't do it. But it seems you can say anything you like about your Creator God. Anything. To take God's name in vain means to use his name in an empty, meaningless way, which is to dishonor, which is to demean a being who is anything but empty, anything but light, anything but trivial. God is a being of immense substance and fullness. His name has a massive meaning because he's a weighty God. And God gives us commandment 3. Because when we use his name wrongly, we reduce him, don't we? We deny his character. We sin. We go wrong. So why do we use his name in a meaningless way? Well, the simple answer really is power. Because if I can take the greatest thing in the universe and look down upon it or talk it down, what does that make me? Well, that makes me greater, doesn't it? God's name is so important, so people take and use his name as a curse or use his name in an inconsequential way because, well, that makes me feel more important. It's a power thing, which is why you don't hear people say, you know, if they stub their toe, oh, or some exclamation, something, oh, my worm, or oh, my Buddha. Doesn't work, does it? Doesn't have the power. And God's name is blatantly misused when people say, and we hear it all the time, oh my God, about nothing to do with God. It's so common now, it's just shortened to OMG, isn't it? And OMG is everywhere, in the shops, I saw it the other day, OMG, look at the price. Or when people are surprised, you know, they're hammering away and bash their thumb with a hammer, they might say, oh, Jesus Christ, in the wrong way. It's a misuse of God's name because what it's doing is taking someone of unbelievable importance and weight and it's belittling them, reducing them. Other forms of misuse include not only when God's name is used in a kind of throwaway manner, but also when his stuff is as well. So when, I remember when I was teaching, I often heard the phrase, what the hell? People said it all the time. They still do, don't they? It's used all the time. Again, it's wrong because it's using something of unbelievable weight and seriousness, that is the reality of hell, in a completely light way. And again, it's done because if I can use hell in an empty way, well, perhaps hell then's empty for me. Perhaps it's non-existent for me, as it were. Any words relating to God and his stuff that we use flippantly, that empty God and his stuff of meaning are kind of cousins of this third commandment, if you like. To say, you know, God damn you is very serious. To be damned by God is the worst thing that could happen to someone. It's absolutely the worst thing because it's an eternal punishment. Let's have a look at some words. A bit old and a bit dated. Oh, sorry, not meant to. Do we know what these mean? Yeah, they are a bit old and dated, some of them. Do we know where they come from? Well, here's sort of where they come from, what they mean. For goodness sake, comes from for God's sake. And there's one we hear a lot, don't we? Likewise, gosh. So on a similar vein. Okay, lots of these are very dated. But see how easy it is for us to trivialize and dishonor God with our words? Because there's a whole load of careless language associated with God. That its roots, the roots of these words are irreverent unhelpful. There's all these little phrases embedded in our culture, aren't they? Also, misuse of God's name comes with irreverent joking. So we can joke in the wrong way. So match of the day. Yesterday, there's a Man City player called Jesus. Jesus is spelt on his back. And the pundit was commentating because he did something good on the pitch. And he said, great bit of skill, appropriate name. No, it's not. Don't compare the Man City player with the name Jesus to the Saviour. It's just a loose way. We get what he's saying, but it's not right. Let's have a look at this picture. What do we think of this? You find it on t-shirts, particularly in America. What's wrong with this picture? You might be thinking, nothing, Ben, you're so over the top. Maybe. But here's the question. Does this picture best illustrate the amazing saving work of Jesus on the cross? Or does this picture belittle the fact that he gave his own life? He hung and bled and died for our sin. I'll let your conscience convince you either. We can use his name in an offhanded way. Also, when we overuse his name. So sometimes you hear people saying, praise the Lord, kind of using it all the time. About everything and anything. Is that revering his name? No, not if it's all the time and they're so quick to invoke the name of the Lord. It can sound spiritual. Yeah. Something happened, praise the Lord, you know. But actually, it can trivialize. It trivializes God. We also often use his name in a meaningless way when we swear by God. So Jesus in the Gospels and James in his epistle both say, don't swear. And they're not meaning the type of swearing, you know, where you're warned about when you're off on a school trip to the museum. Now, well, you've got to behave yourselves and all that kind of thing. No, rather, they're talking about promises and oaths, that type of swearing. The Bible doesn't say, don't ever make an oath. There's lots of oaths made to God in the Bible. But rather beware how you use God's name. Think today how flippantly people say, oh, I swear to God. Or as God is my witness, I will, or I didn't, whatever. And the point is, when we raise God's name, we're not making a small statement. We're involving God. Come and see what's going on. Listen in. Serious. It's a being of immense weight. What about in a court? Hand on the Bible. You better mean it. You put your hand on God's word. Well, sadly, it's an indication of the state of our land, isn't it? That the courts don't bother with the Bible anymore. Another misuse of God's name is false prophecy. And this can look like a Christian saying to another Christian or someone saying to another one, you know, God has told me to tell you this. Or God has told me you should marry me. Or God has told me it's okay for me to date a non-Christian. Really? Should we hear what God's saying in his word about that? Should we check it out? There's a way of misusing God's name for our own ends, usually to make us appear more godly to vulnerable Christians, or usually actually just to get what we want. Using God's name in a meaningless way matters. It's sin. We go wrong. We suffer. And it exposes us because it reflects what we think of him. It can also, think about it, alter the view of others, how they view God. If we're a long-standing Christian, for example, a mature Christian, but we're using God's name loosely, well, that's going to lead others astray, possibly. And Jesus has strong warnings about being a stumbling block to people. The big problem when we use his name in a profane or trivial way is us. It exposes our hearts, doesn't it? What we say of God reveals what we think of him. I wonder if any of you have ever actually had your mouths washed out with soap and water. I hear that in days gone by that may have actually happened. It's a phrase you hear today, isn't it? Go wash your mouth out. It's a turn of phrase, I hope. It's a turn of phrase, because washing our mouths out does no good. Of course it doesn't. The problem's much deeper, isn't it? Jesus says, out of the heart the mouth speaks. Commandment 3, do not misuse my name, because who I am is wrapped up in my name. So it shows us the holiness of God. It shows us our guilt. Look at the end, the second half of that verse 7. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. That is a big warning. That really is. If we think rightly of God, we will speak well of God. If we revere God, we will have the right attitude towards him. And as his rescued people, as those he has set free, can we really dishonor the one who has saved us? The one who, lastly, has a name above all names. What's the flip side of misusing God's name? It's found in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Hallowed be thy name, meaning holy, special is your name. The word hallowed today is linked with grass, maybe. A hallowed turf of Wembley. A hallowed grass of Wimbledon Centre Court. Oh, it's so special, this Centre Court grass, that a player may make it their god to reach Wimbledon and play on that court. And then imagine that player there on that court playing, and mid-match they hit one out and blaspheme after a bad shot. It's so wrong and so back to front, isn't it? To make a patch of grass my idol, but then to use God, my creator, as a swear word. Or imagine someone with a new iPhone 8 saying, oh, this is awesome, isn't it? Then they nearly drop it. Oh, Jesus. Imagine that. What's happened to us? Got it all back to front, haven't we? To call something not great, great, and someone immensely great, not great. We make a mockery of our maker, don't we? It's all back to front. If you look up Jesus in the dictionary, you get all sorts of things. It can be an oath to express irritation, dismay or surprise at a central figure of the Christian religion. But his name means Savior, Deliverer. Think what we have done. Think what we must do, Christians, with the one who died for us, with the one who died for sinners. Think how his name is belittled and dragged through the mud. But not by us. It ought not to be done by us. You sometimes see vans driving around with a sign on the back, how's my driving? Question, isn't it? And then a phone number. Imagine being on the other end of the phone. I wonder if they get any positive calls. Oh, they drove so well today. No, it would be all bad, wouldn't it? But of course, the phone number's there. How's my driving? Because the driver of the van is bearing the name of the company on the side of the van. We bear Christ's name. Christian, you bear Christ's name. He gifts his name to us. That's incredible. Christian is a follower of Christ. So we must bear it well. It's the name above all names. We bear his name well in how we live, in how we speak. And we must bear it well in how we tell all people what his name means. Because who Jesus is wrapped up in his name, a precious name. Dare we empty it of power and the weight it has, rather than proclaim his name. And Jesus is the name above all names. Before him every knee will bow. All people will fall before him in his majesty and his power when he returns on the clouds. And on that day, the whole world will experience the presence of Jesus. When his massive majesty overwhelms us, on that day there will be no list of questions. Oh, hang on a minute, Jesus, can I ask a question? No, no accusations, no casual, oh look, I think Jesus has arrived on the clouds. No. All will bow. This is not a question of will you bow to Jesus, to his name, but when will you? Will you bow now? in your life, in your heart, in your values, in your outlook? Will you bow to him now in reverence, or will it be on the last day in fear, under judgment, when it will be too late? His name is exalted, and it will be exalted. So now in days of grace, let's bow to his name. Christians, let's bear his name well. Let's broadcast his name to the dying. Again, on the back of the notice sheet, you can see notes of the message. A verse to learn, a prayer to pray. I put three songs on there. You can sing any song you like. At the Name of Jesus. On YouTube, you've got Jesus, You're the Sweetest Name of All. That's a lovely song. You want to listen to that this week. That'll do you good. Robin Mark, There Is No Other Name. Great song as well. There's loads of songs with the name of Jesus in. Let me encourage you to not just sit here this morning, listen, walk away, do nothing. Take time. Feed your heart. Feed your mind. Pray. Let God's word sink in. Become part of you.